Yes, the letter H brings us naturally enough to... But wait. To be honest, so much has already been written about hitchhikers, with a multitude of published books, audio cassettes, radio scripts and CDs available, that it seems rather pointless to duplicate any of it here. Fans and friends the world over already know what a mega break it was for Douglas's career. So instead, we'll take a brief look at one of Douglas's final projects for the BBC, a four-part radio series called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Future, in which he tried to make sense of the digital world. Topics included the thorny issue of music copyright, electronic publishing, and the evolution of computer technology, a taste of which can be found elsewhere in this collection. In part three of the series, Douglas pondered on how the new technology would change the traditionally non-interactive media of film and television. He believed that instead of adding interactivity as a component to a tired old medium like TV, it would be much more interesting to add TV as a component to the web, a naturally interactive medium which we already know how to navigate. The potential for digital technology in the home, however, intrigued Douglas even more.
We've already seen the impact which digital technology has had on the movie industry, in films from Terminator 2 to The Matrix, and months later, inevitably, in car and shampoo commercials. But what's high-end one year is available in Dixon's a couple of years later. So now, not only does new technology allow you to choose what you want to see more intelligently, not only does it allow you to interact with the material, it also allows you to create the material yourself. It's a chastening feeling these days to look around a giant old BBC studio, and by old I mean 10 years, and realise how much of the equipment you see piled around you would now fit inside a desktop computer, or even a laptop. A lot of the programme you're listening to today has been edited on a dining room table and an aeroplane seat. It's quicker and easier and cheaper than using the BBC's own studios. And that's just sound. The effect on video production is just as dramatic. There are several obstacles that lie in the path of making a movie, a TV or radio programme or a CD. The first has to do with the cost and complexity of production. The second has to do with the cost, complexity and, wait for it, the non-zero-sumness of distribution. Since that's the sort of language that makes people jump up and down and try and take away the licence fee, I'd better explain. Zero-sum means you can't win without someone else losing. You can't add something without taking something else away to make room for it. We have an example with the ongoing debate about the late evening schedules on TV. You can have a big movie or a news programme, but not both. Since there are only 24 hours in a day, each TV channel is a zero-sum medium. Similarly, there is a finite number of cinema screens, and in a slightly looser way, there is a finite number of racks in CD stores. Non-zero-sum means there's room for everything. The web is a non-zero-sum medium. A third obstacle arises directly from the need to manage the first two obstacles, which is why it's called management. Oddly, this turns out to be a non-zero-sum phenomenon as well. It always seems possible to add another layer of management without anybody seeing the need to take a layer away. And unfortunately, it only takes one person in management to have a problem, whether it's budgetary, scheduling, internal politics, or just blank incomprehension, for an entire project to get dumbed down, change beyond recognition, or just fall right off a cliff. But distribution is no longer a zero-sum game. Anybody can put their stuff up on the web. So the only problem now is, what are we going to do with all these managers? Sounds like a problem for management to deal with. They'll probably need to hire in a few more people to help them sort it out. But now I have a bit of a confession. Sometimes, just sometimes, faced with all this media choice, I remember once when, dog-tired and ravenously hungry, I went into a hamburger hamlet in Los Angeles to get in some basic food fuel before I went to bed. And the waitress started in on me. Did I want the quarter pounder or a half? And how would I like that cooked? Rare? Medium? Medium rare? On a bun? What kind of bun would I like? Sourdough? Whole wheat? Five-grain whole wheat? Cheese? American? Swiss? Cheddar? Gorgonzola? Skipjack? Fries with it? Would that be thick fries, sir, or string, or hash browns? And a salad? What kind of salad dressing would I like on my salad? Ranch? Vinaigrette? Blue cheese? Thousand Island? I just wanted her to do what my mother used to do, put a plate of food in front of me and tell me to eat it. Yes, there are times when even the most rabid digital enthusiast just wants Morecambe and Wise.
And amen to that.